Eric's begun us in a series. They're going all the way to Pentecost, correct?
Yes.
All the way to Pentecost, which I believe is like mid-May or end of May, something like that this year.
12th.
May 12th. So we're going all the way there. So we're going to stay in the subject of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What's he up to? What's our plans? What's our roles in all of this? And Holy Spirit can be a conversation that you start to shy away from sometimes. You get into some sticky stuff, and we have these preconceived notions of who the Holy Spirit is, and what's he doing, and how is he a part of my life, and all these questions that begin to come up. And where we're going this morning is where Eric left off last week, which is this: let's say yes to the Holy Spirit. Let's say yes to the Holy Spirit and what he is doing, surrendering to the work and the plans that he has, because they're going to be so far above what we can even think or imagine, it says in Scripture, right? Way beyond and out there, and things are happening that we don't even see. And so let's open ourselves up to that, because Jesus has sent us a helper, in which is there to help and guide and comfort, and we should not neglect this. I mean, I spent 10 days without my wife, Riley, here. My wife, my daughter, they went to Illinois, and myself and my son stayed here. And the plan was that we were going to potty train him before she was gone, so it'd be a nice, easy time for me. In fact, I tried to push it this way. I said, hey, he's sucking his thumb. Let's make sure we get his thumb sucking gone by then. He doesn't know how to use the bathroom. Let's make sure we got that all down on tap, so that when you're gone, you don't have to worry about it. You see, that's really what it is. I just don't want you to worry about what's happening here. And well, of course, that wasn't the case. And if you've met Rowan, he's a stubborn little boy. And we had a great time. He is determined in to do what I don't want him to do. Yeah.
Yep. I can't.
Yeah. If you know Rowan, oh man, asking him to do anything, yeah.
What,
yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll say that's different. Well, yeah. But she was gone for 10 days, and of course, what did I do? Because my help is gone. My companion's gone. And so what did I do? I adapted my whole week, and it actually went to the point where it affected our circle of family and friends. I had to rely on and adapt, and everyone knew this is going to be the change for 10 days, and this is the territory we can get in when it comes to the Holy Spirit, where we step into a life of Christ, and then we're trying to live this new life in Jesus without the help that he sent. And so we begin to adapt our life for a new life without the help that's required for it. And we see how backwards this is? And so my wife comes home. I'm like, gosh, thank you, Jesus. She is back. It is, but that's how it should be with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that I have your Holy Spirit. Because the life that he has called us to is beyond us. It is beyond us. And what I realized, and I knew this, I cannot do and live my life the same when Riley's gone. And you cannot do and live your life the way in which Christ has called you without the Holy Spirit actively as a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
This is that truth. And so we've been called to a life lived in Christ. It's a life beyond ourselves. In darkness, we lived in ourselves. But in light, we live beyond ourselves. And that's to say that the life is not of ourselves. Rather, it's a life that requires a power beyond us. It's a power beyond us. And I want to connect a few dots this morning that Scripture gives us. So I'm going to hop around three verses real quick. We're going to begin in Joel. And this is Joel 2:28, just the first half of the verse. And this is reiterated a couple other places in in Scripture and even quoted in the New Testament. And we see it in Isaiah, we see it in Ezekiel, but it says this, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I," this is God, "that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." This is God's desire for his people, that they would know him in such an intimate way that they are saturated and permeated with his spirit. That his spirit would be poured onto us and overflowing from our lives. And there should be no doubt about God's desire for your life. It's to be like a sponge dunked into the water of his Holy Spirit, and you soak it all in. And that's how we live our life. And you dip a sponge and it soaks it all in. You take out of the bucket, what's it start doing? It starts dripping all over the place. And it starts soaking the area around it. That's us, to be continually permeated with his Holy Spirit. And so that's what we have. And then I'm going to jump us all the way to 1 Peter, all the way now toward the end of the Bible, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11. And Peter says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Listen to this. We are called to new life in Jesus. And Peter lays it out in the verses prior to this, that the life we live is different than anything else. We're actually literal cornerstones in his spiritual temple. And so our life is different. And in this new life, it's a life that you've lived unlike any before. There's nothing else that compares to it. It's a life I don't deserve. It's a life I hold no merit for. It's a life in which the power is not in and of me. It's not in and of me, but rather it's a life in him beyond me. And so the dot that I want to connect here is the way in which you are to live in darkness is not the way you're going to live in the light. You lived powerless in the darkness, but we're to live in power in the light. So he called me out of darkness and into light. These are two very opposite things. And I cannot live the same way in one that I lived in the other. Not only is this so far beyond me, I just want to press this in. There is something that he has called us to, a life he has called us to, that's so far beyond me that he says, "You actually have no power to live the life I've called you to apart from me. So I have to come and I'm going to send my spirit as that power, as that fuel for your life." And so if you've ever sat on a Sunday morning and then went through the rest of the week and felt like, man, I really connected with what the Lord was saying there, and I really heard the Lord speak to me in that moment, and then you go on and you're attempting to live that life and you're like, why am I not able to do what he has called me to do? Well, because there's a little added statement that needs to be put onto that. It's he's called you to do it, and he's empowered you to do it by his spirit. You take his spirit out of the equation, it just does not happen. Do we understand this? It just does not. It seems like such a simple thing, but we do it all the time. Now look at this, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. So we know that he wants us to have his spirit. And we know that he's called us into a new life, which is powered by his spirit. And then it says this in 2 Corinthians 4:7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us." When Paul says in Ephesians 4:1 and other places to live a life worthy of the calling that has been placed on your life, or to live a life worthy of the gospel which you have responded to, he's not making a plea to your self-motivated power. Amen? He's not making a plea to your self-motivated power. He's not saying, hey, you just need to start muscling through it, right? Because I'll tell you what, this is going to sound okay. A lot of times I put filters on myself up here, okay? I'm not going to filter this one. I don't know how to say it different if anybody else wants to say it. But people are hard to love sometimes, right? People are hard to love. Okay, I'm just, Hunter isn't in the room. I'm just going to pick on somebody I can pick on real quick. I'll pick on Noel. Noel's really hard to love. By no willpower of my own am I going to be able to love him in which the Lord has called me to love him. Right? Right? If you're like, man, that person, I just can't love, they're just, ugh. Maybe it's because you're always approaching them in your flesh. Where instead the Lord has called me to approach Noel in all of his annoyingness in the Spirit. Amen? Now you pick on Noel because people know Noel's easy to love. He's easy to love.
It's okay, Noel.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got you, bro.
Yeah.
I know.
I looked this way and I was coming around and I was about to do Michael Kelly and then I went here. And so if he wasn't there, I guess I would have come back this way. Yeah. Yeah. Listen. It's not this self-motivated plea he's making to work it up within yourself, but rather that you would, in obedience, access the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you and to do as Jesus is leading us to do in his power. And that's what he's calling us to say yes to. That's what he's calling us to say yes to. The power to do it has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. The ability to say yes has been made possible by the Holy Spirit. Now I must align my will and access the power which is readily available to me. It's there. And with all this power, with this grace that's been poured on me, why would I still pursue the things he's called me to in my own power? Why would I do that? It just makes no sense. Or attempt this in my own ways, or try to go about it via my own preferences or my own thoughts about these things. The worthy walk which you are called to is in the Holy Spirit. And even as it pertains to the gifts, Eric touched on the gifts last week, and I'm really about to reiterate something he said, but I want to connect this. It's you know, he gives these gifts to us in his Spirit, and the gifts are his, and they don't happen outside of him. They're his, and they don't happen outside of him. And the gifts are not of me. They're of him. The gifts, they aren't for my purposes. They're for his purposes. Amen? You notice the purposes all the time that's like, oh, we often think, how can I use my ability to better improve my own life? And God's like, well, no, I'm going to use this gift so to better improve and meet the needs of my body. The gifts poured out on us, and we heard Eric say this last week, the gifts poured out on us are for the body. And the purposes of Christ as the head. Purposes of Christ as the head. So that's for the body and then outside the body to do the work of Christ. For his purposes, not mine. And not to build myself up, but to give him the glory. His Spirit, his life, his light are not of me, but I'm invited into them. They are his. And we have been given the right to them as sons and daughters, just as we have been given the right to be called children of God. Because the Holy Spirit is what Jesus has for us. It's what he has for you. You're thinking, Lord, what's next for me? It's the Holy Spirit. Lord, what's the next step? Holy Spirit. Where do I go from here? Holy Spirit. And yeah, there's going to be more nuance to each of those. But it doesn't happen outside the Holy Spirit. So we're in this conversation for the next few weeks. Actually, almost 2 months. We're in this conversation about the Holy Spirit. I think this Sunday is kind of a not a transition point, but maybe a launching point. Where last week, at the end, Eric gave us this opportunity to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Say yes to him. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Wow. Awesome. You guys really heard the Lord and responded. Yes, the Holy Spirit. That is not a one-time thing. It's not a, I said it then, that should be good enough. It's every day I say it. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit, something's going to happen where the Lord's going to begin to pinpoint areas in our lives where he's saying, I want you to go further here in me. I want you to go deeper here in me. You see how you blocked this off? You see how you corridored me off here? You see how you're attempting to do things in your flesh here? And it's going to be things we're uncomfortable with. But what he's calling us to do in each of those is say yes, and say yes, and say yes. And we all have our reasons, and he knows them, and this is why he's going to do this work in your life. He knows exactly what your hesitancies are. He knows exactly what your preferences are, and he's going to begin tackling each one of those. And I believe he's going to begin opening up our lives to receive more of him, that intended life he has for us in the light. And so what we're doing this morning is we're saying yes to the Holy Spirit and letting the Lord maintain that yes. Because the honest thing is, I don't know what I'm saying yes to right now, except for the fact that I'm saying yes to him, and I know he's good, and I know he's great, and I know he's the one that the Lord has for me. But when it comes to the details of it, I know I'm saying yes now, but next week the Lord could be like, I'm coming with you at you, and it's going to be one that's going to hurt. And so what am I doing? I'm saying yes now in faith. That yes now in faith is simply surrendering to him, and he's giving you the enduring and sustaining faith needed to go where he wants you to go. As I say yes in him, he's going to give you the enduring and sustaining faith to go where he wants you to go. Amen? And not to go by making the Holy Spirit more appealing to us. Not just start dressing him up so he starts looking a little better to us. What the Holy Spirit desires is for us, he desires for us a relationship with him where we embrace him fully for who he actually is. See, I'll say 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you know, came back to the Lord. Oh, I guess we're 12 years now. 2012. Came back to the Lord after 2 years of just doing my own thing. Raised in the church, did my own thing. And when it came back to this subject of the Holy Spirit, you know, my relationship with the Holy Spirit through my growing years, now you take into account that, you know, I was young, maturing, and all of this stuff, but I stepped back into my relationship with Jesus with this mindset of, man, I've only seen the Holy Spirit used, or in most of the time used, or the impression that's put on me is to somehow manipulate my emotions or to manipulate me to get to do a certain thing. And so it really put a little bit of a wall, actually a huge wall, between me and the Holy Spirit, where I just didn't, yep, you exist, great, awesome, believe it. But I didn't want to go any further because my relationship with it was really off, and my perception of him was really off. But what he did in very short order, in fact, this happened before, and I'm glad now I can put it into words, because I couldn't put it into words then, but before the Lord even began opening up the lanes of ministry for me, he began by doing this, basically saying, that wall has to go. And when he did it, he said, you embrace me for who I am, and I will give you who I am. You embrace me for who I am, and I will give you who I am. What's that saying? He's saying, if you continue to think about me a certain way, that is going to be the thing which determines and defines our relationship. Because it is a relationship you have. You begin and say yes and saying, I'm going to embrace you for all you are. What does he do? He begins opening himself up and pouring himself in and saying, this is who I am. I am good. I am loving. I am at work. Amen? And so that's what we're doing. We say, Lord, I want you. I don't want what makes me most comfortable. I don't want you to be who I think you should be. I don't want what makes other people comfortable, but I want you for who you are. And so give yourself to me, please. And it says in Scripture, he will. He will. And so the power available to us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and Eric just started this trend before I could get to it, given to us, yes, as a gift, but of a grace bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Bought and purchased by the blood. This gift given to us, the Holy Spirit given to us, bought and purchased by the blood, is meant to be used. Meant to be used. Seems like such a simple concept, but we find ourselves oftentimes walking around with what he gave us to be used. All of a sudden maybe I don't need it as much, or I don't want it as much, or I prefer doing it this way. And so I got 4 points to go along with this. Number one, it's meant to be used. Holy Spirit is meant to be used because that's what you do with good gifts. That's what you do with good gifts. The best gifts are the ones that are either really wanted or the ones that are really needed. And the really good gifts intersect that, right? They're the ones that I really want and really need. And the Holy Spirit comes to us as both as that which we are to enjoy and to use. Enjoy and to use. The Holy Spirit is here to help, here for action, and here for our benefit. Because this is what you do with gifts that are designed to meet a need. You use them. And we all know this. We love seeing people use the gifts that we give them, right? We love it. We can actually express our gratitude in action. When you take a gift that's been given to you and you begin using it, it's actually an expression of gratitude toward the giver. You know that? It's actually an expression of gratitude toward the giver. And to refuse a gift that's needed is an expression of arrogant selfishness. And we all know that. And I know that because I have little kids. And you make them dinner and you slave away over it, right? Or my wife will slave away over it. We say, hey, we made you dinner. I don't want that. Okay, kid. We're going to back up from each other for just a second, okay? Because you just told me that you were hungry about an hour ago, and now you don't want that. You don't want that. Oh, I don't want that. Or I'm not hungry or some such. And you know this feeling of when somebody refuses a gift that is needed, because what flares up in you in that moment when they say, I'm not hungry, I don't want that? Oh, it's you little, you stinker. Yeah, because what the child just expressed was an ungratefulness to what you had prepared for them, right? An ungratefulness for what you had prepared for them. And so the same is true with the Holy Spirit. You go on trying to live your life without that which Jesus has given you, needed beyond comprehension. You're like, eh. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so you see why he wants to open us up to the Holy Spirit? He's like, this is the gift that you need.
Mm-hmm. There's no dinner for you.
And that's excellent. Because what do I do as a parent when they say, I don't want that? Great. That's it. That's what's for dinner. Yeah, you're hungry. There's no more dinner. Can I have dessert? No dessert. I don't know why you would even ask for dessert at this point. It's not an option. Okay, but I'm hungry. Okay, breakfast is in about 12 hours. I don't know what to tell you, right? And so oftentimes we do just that. We come to God and we say, God, I need help. God, don't you see what's going on in my life? He's like, there it is. There's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to tell you, except I'm going to keep pinpointing Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right? Yes. Amen. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. 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 Yep. We all have testimony of this one, right? We all have testimony of this one. Because Jesus goes, he says, hey, I'm going to die, I'm going to raise again, and then I'm going to leave. And I'm going to leave because I need to send you this helper. It's going to be better for you. He says, it is to your advantage. It is to your advantage that I go. Because I'm calling you to a life that is so far beyond yourself, you have no clue. And the only way you're going to live it is in my Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? The only way that you are going to be salt and light in a dark world is if you use that which is to your advantage. The gift of the Holy Spirit in our life is meant to be used. So inquire of his help, his aid, his guidance, his wisdom, his insight, his peace, and he will be that to you. This is why he has come, to be your ever-present help, to be there. So he's meant to be used because this is what you do with good gifts. You use them. And number two, beyond that point, is you have a legal right to the power of the Holy Spirit and a legal access to the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have a legal need to the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of those that sometimes we use soft language when it comes to the gospel. And there is soft language in the fact that it's gentle and loving and peaceable. Those things are true. This is Jesus comes to us as that. But then there's hard lines, these firm, solid points. Say, this is fact. Let me open up Hebrews real quick. This is Hebrews 10. I'm going to read verse 10, and then I'm going to jump to verse 19 to 22, because between that, he's just explaining more of that verse and kind of opening it up. But so we're Hebrews chapter 10, then we're going to do verse 10, and then verse 19 through 22. And it says, and by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Amen? Amen. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen to this. Payment once and for all by the blood, by the flesh of Jesus. Amen? So that we can have new and living life. The work on the cross was a type of payment and signature on a heavenly terms and agreements. You know, when you download, it's a heavenly contract, yeah. A heavenly contract. So there's legal precedent here. By his blood, we have full and confident access to the Holy Spirit. He sends his helper to us, not as part of the true victory he has won, because he's won a true and complete victory. And it's just not part of that. It's not just a little perk, but a monumental rite of victory for you, for us. And so I say it this way to say, this is a huge deal. And you can't just say, well, if I section off the Holy Spirit from my life in Christ, then I can still live and enjoy most of my life in Christ. No. That's not the way it works at all. At all. It's Holy Spirit, because you understand what he's saying there when he says he opened for us through the curtain. That is, through his flesh. So we literally, through his flesh, it says what? The veil is torn. That curtain which separates us from the Holy of Holies. Through him, we now walk and enjoy the Holy Spirit. This is a huge deal. The Holy Spirit is that which you have been given legal right to as citizen of heaven, as son of God, as royal priest. He is that which confirms and affirms your identity. He seals you and seals you for your inheritance, preserving you and it for a future time. And he grants power and access and authority where without him there is none. And that power, that access, that authority, that is all needed in the life that Christ has called you to. So in other words, let me put it like this. He's your death and birth certificate. Yep, he died and now he lives in me. He's your passport and citizenship documentation and your ID card. Yep, not only is he of me and in me, but he belongs here. We understand that he's there for the moment, but he belongs here. He is the will and trust by which the inheritance is preserved and distributed. He is our license to ministry. I want you to understand this. Our role as pastors here is to equip you for ministry. He's your license to it. Amen?
Amen?
He is our certification to do the good works set before us. That's supposed to say certification. He is our certification to do the good works set before us. What right do you have to go about loving people in this way? Well, I have the Holy Spirit within me.
Amen?
Amen? And all that list of stuff, if you have documentation like that anywhere in your house, where is it? Safe and secure. Yeah. Safe and secure somewhere. And if you need it, you keep it close by, right? Oh, I'm not going anywhere without these things. My ID card, always on me, right? You have these things always on you in the Holy Spirit because it cannot be taken away from you. And you need them for the work which he has called you here. I'm not leaving this behind. I'm taking it with me wherever I go, and I'm using it as often as needed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number three, the life you are called to requires the Holy Spirit. The life you are called to requires the Holy Spirit. Let's refresh ourselves on 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The life lived in the light requires the power of the Holy Spirit." That's what you've been called to. It requires the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been called to a life beyond ourselves. And our old, dead lives, they had us fooled. They once had us fooled into thinking that in us was the path to success, that in us was the path to fulfillment and satisfaction. We believe things like saying like, well, if only I could obtain the right skills, then I would be better off. If only I could, you know, just have the right amount of discipline in my life, then I would be better off. And if I possessed the correct answers, I would be better off. And if I could apply myself this way, I'd be better off. And we go about pursuing all these things, thinking that will eventually make us happy. But in new life with Jesus, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the reality that we are not in and of ourselves able to achieve that or possess that which we so desire in our hearts and souls. Amen? In and of me, that satisfaction, that gnawing inside me to have fulfillment, purpose, to be wrapped up in the arms of my Heavenly Father, not there, not possible. In the power of the Holy Spirit, ever present, daily, right now, moment to moment. The life beyond our lives, which we have been called to, requires a power beyond ourselves. I'm going to keep saying this line, a power beyond ourselves. The question posed to us is this, is if I'm called to a life beyond myself, if I'm called to a life beyond myself, then why would I continue to insist on living within myself? Why would I continue to keep thinking within the box of Stephen when the Holy Spirit infinitely expands the possibilities? Why would I look at my own strength as the limiting factor to what God desires and can do? Why would I use my own understanding to guide my life? We have some smart people in this room, but we can all say, regardless of how smart you are, I'm not that smart. I may be smart in some things, but eventually you're going to find things I'm really not smart in. Then you want to find how dumb I actually am. There's things I think I'm smart in that I'm really not smart in. Right? Right? Oh, no one wants to nod to that one? Okay. Okay.
We're just going to leave you hanging.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Okay. That's part of the risk, I guess. Why? Now think about this. Why would I define my future by my ability or my preferences?
Amen.
Amen? Why would I define my future by my ability or my preferences? Amen? I say this a lot, and people who are around me a lot, you know, I say this, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And I think the Lord's put that on my heart as this short little mantra to say, God's good. It's going to be good.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And that's the complete logic of it. That simple. And so I look into the future of my life, and yeah, I see a lot, you know, I got issues in my life. We all do. But I don't look at the issue and say, that's going to be the definition of my future. I look to God and say, that's going to be the definition of my future.
Amen?
Amen? And he defines it. But we step into the future he has for us when we say yes to the Holy Spirit. And the opposite is true. I hold at a distance the future he has for me as I deny his Holy Spirit. Because the future he has for you is one lived in power. Amen? In power. And so as we go through the next several weeks talking about the Holy Spirit, this is what this is what should be in our minds. I just want to go where you are going. I want to be where you are. You're a God of gifts? Great. Show me how to use these gifts. You're a God of funky languages? Okay. Let's figure out what this means exactly. I'm in it. Because I'm in you. You're in me. That's where I want to be. I'm not trying to create a little rhyme here. That's just how it came out. I think there's some sort of song like that. But we say yes to him. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20. It's one of Paul's great, you know. You read Paul sometimes, it doesn't come across oftentimes his wittiness and sometimes his little punches and jabs that he gives around, you know, they're there. This is one of those. It says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. In talk, but in power. And Paul right now, he's using this line to call out those that are masquerading as Jesus' followers, but possess no power. He's like, how are you going to go about walking about proclaiming Jesus with no power? You look like a darn fool out there. He's saying, show me your power. That's the type of language he's using. Show me your power. Because a life of Jesus in Jesus isn't just talk. It's a life of power. So he's saying, show me your love. Show me your hope. Show me the life that's lived only in power. Because true love, true hope, it's powerful. There's impact behind it. There's momentum behind it. It's not just ineffective words. You can't expect to follow Jesus' example without power. Show me the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's what he's saying. It's a life lived in power. The kingdom of God is power. Live out the hope. Live out the love that is in Jesus. Faith is lived out. It's not just spoken of. Words of hope by the Holy Spirit are powerful because they're more than just mere optimism, but rather they rely on the unchanging truth of who God is. Not optimism, but the truth of who God is. A life filled in power and hope of power, it produces that which God ordains regardless of the time, because it relies on the power that is beyond the times and beyond the circumstance and beyond the situation. So how can we here in the midst of our world walk in hope, knowing what's happening all around us, knowing the realities and the struggles that each of us face? How can I do that? What's that?
We know how the story ends.
We know how the story ends. And we know that God is good. Amen? And we know that his ability to work in my life does not rely on any of this. Right? It doesn't change it a bit. He's going to do what he wants to do. And he says it's for our good. Amen? So from a Sunday morning, this Sunday and all the Sundays that we're pressing into for the next few months, how are you to go from here on a Sunday hearing from God and live out the life he's calling you to? Because as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, what he's doing is he's expecting you to live it Monday through Sunday by the power of his Holy Spirit. He gives us new thinkings, new hearts, new ability in him. And the conviction that's going on, or the lights that are being turned on right now, or the this resolve that he's putting in us right now, he doesn't expect us to live that out apart from him. He expects us to live it within him. It says, he has good works planned for us. This is Ephesians 2:10. He has good works planned for us. Amen? You're his masterpiece, and he's created you for good works. And his plan isn't creating a task list and then handing it off to you and saying, go figure it out. That's what I do to people. Go figure it out. I don't want to use any of my mental energy on this. You go do this, right? But that's not God. That's not God. Here's what he's doing. His planning is guiding and shaping your heart to see his will. Guiding and shaping your heart to see his will. His planning is that he is empowering you to do the work. His planning for good works in your life, it is seeing those good works accomplished through you. So he sees to it. I'm going to make sure it's done. So he's giving you the ability in the midst of your obedience, which he gave opportunity to and produced in you, and sees to the finished work of his plan. What are we saying here? He's doing it. He's doing the good works that he has planned for you. And you get to be a part of it. He's weaving you into his plan. He's making you a part of it. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Now think about this as the church. So we talked about us as an individual for a moment. Think about us as a church. The church, big C church, the body of Christ, is always positioned for such a time as this. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
Is always positioned for such a time as this. The body of Christ is always being made ready for right now. There has never been a time in history in which the body of Christ has not been ready for their present moment. Amen? Always ready. But that's because the Holy Spirit is there to make sure that the body fulfills its mandate, that the church fulfills its mandate. We are intentionally being positioned for such a time as this, in which we are to live as salt and light in a world that desperately needs it. And that may have physically looked different through the generations. But in every generation, he is readying the church to be salt and light in and of the power of the Holy Spirit to see God move mightily in their time. And we're going to see God move mightily in our time. He's positioned us for it. And he's readying us for it in this moment. Using, and this is the astounding part, using that which was powerless, which was dead, but is now full of power and life by Jesus. That's what he's going to do. The impact of the work which he is doing, kind of like an impact crater on the planet, will be the proclamation of the name of Jesus throughout the world, again and again. Lives transformed as they run into his open arms, giving him glory. This is what it'll be like. It'll be like the times of Esther where people are saved. It'll be like the shepherd boy David where God flexes his might and his muscle. It'll be like the times of Daniel where the mighty kings, the mighty rulers, all end up giving glory to God. All bow the knee. The desires of God's heart for a community coming to fruition by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening right now, amen? In and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're saying yes to. It's almost impossible to not get excited for that, right? Because there's a power beyond us that is in us, working through us, for his plans and his works. Not even the great things that I can think of, but the infinitely greater things which he has planned. In all of this, this is number four for you note takers, the flesh has no part in it. The flesh has no part in it. The gift which is given to us is meant to be used, and the flesh has no part in it. Because it's either or, not both and. When you look at Galatians 5:16, a commonly known verse, it says this, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And the opposite is true, because the two are warring against each other. There's not room for two, just one. Even this morning, I believe we should be asking God to make an honest evaluation of our hearts, saying, where's the flesh got in? And where have I allowed his Holy Spirit to be kicked out? Am I following my flesh or the Spirit? And because we need to understand is that to surrender to our flesh is to neglect the Spirit. And to surrender to the Spirit is to gain victory over and kill the flesh. Amen? Amen. And so this is what I want to highlight. The flesh is no help. The flesh is no help. If I go about living and striving for the prize, living for Jesus, attempting to live a life worthy of the call, but neglect and ignore the Spirit, put off the power, the help, the counsel, the guidance, the wisdom, all available to me for the purposes of living as called, that I'm making the attempt and I'm striving in my flesh. And the flesh is guiding and leading me. I'm just trying to muster up what I can to make it work, and it's not going to work. So we say yes to the Holy Spirit. I want us to look at this in Romans 7:18. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desires to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Because in and of me, I have no ability to live the life Jesus has called me to. This is a point I want to hammer in. In and of me, in my flesh, I have no ability to live the life Christ has called me to. In and of me, I cannot move an inch in obedience. But in and of the Holy Spirit, I am made ready to do his perfect will. Then, of course, where this whole point comes from, John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And an obvious conclusion can be drawn here, especially since this is the chapter where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You want life? It's in me. The life beyond yourself is not in and of yourself. It's in and of him, in and of his Holy Spirit. Because you have been called to live a life far beyond you. So far beyond you that Ephesians 3, this is the end of Paul's second prayer to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 3, he says, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we may ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be given the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen? Beyond what I can think, beyond what I can imagine, that's what he wants to do in and through us and for us. It's a life of his light, a life of his power, a life of his works, a life of his goodness, a life of joy even in the midst of suffering, a life of loving sacrifice with eternal impact, a life of legacy which will never end. This is to say, it's a life of Jesus. And so I want to end here by saying, go after the Holy Spirit. Go after the Holy Spirit by desiring the Holy Spirit. Now, initially, that may sound like a weird way to say it. Don't I go after that which I desire? But doesn't desire just somehow naturally come about? Well, no, actually, Scripture puts it different. Is that we can begin forming that desire. But it begins with surrendering to God and saying yes to desiring all he has for you. All that he has for you above all other options. It's recognizing what will satisfy, what will bring about the satisfaction in your life. It's recognizing that he's the one that I actually want. You ever start thinking about a food and your mouth starts watering? And even now you might be thinking, where am I going for lunch? What's lunch look like? We're doing Mexican, maybe nice burger, lunch at home. But then you become fixated on that, right? At least I do. Become fixated on that. Every now and then I'll look to Riley and be like, Do you want this? It could be Panda Express. It could be usually a fast food thing, you know. What do you want? And she'll say, no. But she'll say, you go get that. I'll get this. Okay, great. And one day, seems weird. Why don't we just eat the same thing? She's like, no, because I know you. You're just going to keep asking for it all week long until that craving is just satisfied. And that's the point that the Lord wants us to get. That a desire and a craving is there. That we recognize isn't going to be satisfied apart from him. I want him. Two verses and then we're going to wrap up. John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The one who thirsts searches for water. Right? And what Jesus is saying is the one who thirsts is going to begin their search and it's going to quickly end because I'm right there ready to give myself to them. Amen? Then let's look at Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. It says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Desire God from a place of truth that says he is what satisfies." We declare that in our hearts. He is what satisfies. He is what I thirst for. He is what I long for. Desire his spirit to be poured out on you. Worship team, you guys can make your way up. And I've said it, I don't know, maybe 45 times this morning. The life you're called to in Jesus is beyond you. Amen? It's beyond you. It's found in him. And he's calling you to it, and he's given you the help, which is to your advantage, to live the life he's called you to. The life you desire is beyond you. The life you desire is beyond you. But he's giving it to you because he's purchased it with his blood. Here, come and accept what I have for you. It's not found in you. It's not found anywhere else. It's found in Jesus. Amen? Yes. So today, we say yes to him. Yes. And we're going to continue to say yes to him. Yes. And this is where it gets dicey. I want this reality to be put in our heads. Because we're saying yes to who he is, to the fullness of who he is. And that may get uncomfortable. Actually, it will get uncomfortable. It will push us outside our comforts. It will be something that we're just not used to. But the thing which God does not desire for you, for your life, is for you to simply try to adapt to living without the Holy Spirit. Say, no, that's foolishness. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit to your advantage so that you may be salt and light and enjoy my presence moment to moment, every moment while I have you here.
If your daily existence is being white knuckle experience, just barely hanging on by your teeth,
yeah.
This that you're talking about today is what you're lacking.
Yeah.
It needs to be surrendered, laid down at the foot of the cross.
Yep.
Let Jesus happen.
Yeah. Yeah, if you feel like you're barely hanging on, it's probably because you're the one hanging on.
There's something missing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're missing that power beyond yourself. That is the Holy Spirit. And he's here to help. And he's here to empower your lives. So let's pray and let's worship him. And in the midst of our worship, in our hearts, say, Holy Spirit, yes to you. Whatever that means. I'm not quite sure what it is all you have planned for me, but I say yes to it. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for not just calling us to a life, but calling us to a life that's beyond ourselves and then providing the power to live that life. A life of satisfaction, a life of joy, a life in your presence forevermore. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who fills us and dwells in us as our ever-present help. And I ask in this moment for each one of us that you lead us into declaring yes to you. A declaration fueled by a resolve that you are placing there in this moment for you. And we ask that you hold nothing back. We are here to receive you for who you truly are. We thank you, Father. Thank you for moving here this morning in us. Thank you for illuminating our hearts to receive your word this morning. And thank you, Father, for empowering us and enabling us on our lips and our hearts to say yes to you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.